We are the Shy Guys, and you're listening to Connecting to Host, your co-op and multiplayer gaming podcast. Today we're going to be talking about We Were Here Too, an online-only first-person cooperative adventure set in a fictional medieval castle. It's the follow-up to We Were Here, a similar first-person cooperative adventure, and you'll have to use just your voice in order to solve puzzles with your cooperative partner. It's available on PC for around £7 on Steam. That's the only platform it's available on currently. And we've both been playing it on our gaming PCs. John played as the Lord, and I was the peasant. And I guess you'll explain that now, John.
God damn right I will, peasant. No, that was a
good way feudal to start system. Where would we be without it?
So yes, as you the first line from the story is a little bit misleading, isn't it? I mean, you will solve the puzzles using just your voice and the mouse and the keyboard while you move around and solve the puzzles in a 3D world. But yeah. So first of all, it's a 3D game using the a first person game using the Unreal Engine, and you will walk around a castle going room to room, completely separate from each other. So for the first three quarters of the game, you don't even see the other player. One of you is the peasant, Benjamin, who starts in the crypt, while the other is the lord, who starts in the royal court. How fitting. So the game, you can tell by the nature of it, is co-op only and online co-op only. So you can't play this two on your own. So don't rush and buy it and think, oh, I'll just play it on my own first. But you can actually team up with people randomly online. So we saw a couple of lobbies open with one out of two people when we were playing. And I guess they were just kicking around waiting for a second person to join, because the game has in-game voice chat, so you don't need to team up on Discord or anything. You can just theoretically join the game and start chatting using the in-game radios, which you can push to talk, and then the voice kicks in. So you move through this castle, and I think there's about 9 or 10 rooms, and areas, not necessarily just the room, and each area is basically a puzzle, in which one player is given a set of clues, information how to progress through the story, but the other person actually has the visual puzzle to solve. So they're the ones who's in the room with the door locked or with the buttons on the wall with some boxes to play around with, but the other player has the information. And then you solve the puzzle by having one player communicate to the other what the situation is and try and piece together the bits of information. And the game took us about two and a half hours to work through.
Yeah, about that.
And there's two different endings. And I guess you can see both endings by just replaying the last puzzle, I suspect. Not necessarily having to play the whole game again. So.
Yeah. Just for people that have played this game and know how it ends, we had the bad ending and John's a bastard. I'll say more on the topic. So I think the best way of trying to explain this is I will try and describe one of the puzzles that we went through, the back and forth, so you can kind of get an understanding of how this works in practice. So the puzzle starts, I'm in a spiral staircase, stone castle spiral staircase. I go halfway up the staircase, there's these sort of lances across the passageway, so I can't get through. And on the wall, there's just a pattern, kind of like a crucifix, like four boxes by three across at the top, all with different symbols on. And I think, that's interesting. So I describe this to John as best I can. Like, oh, there's these boxes and symbols. And he goes, oh, well, in my room, I've just got cubes, just a couple of cubes. So I imagined he was going to have like lots of boxes and put them in the same order. And so because he said he's got some cubes, that's my assumption. He hadn't described it very well because he's a terrible lord. And so I'm describing all these boxes and he's moving stuff around. So I can only put one down at a time. And every time he was putting one down, there was this clunking noise, like gears scraping. And suddenly like seven of the steps on the spiral staircase would disappear, revealing lava beneath. I should also point out that there was a clock ticking and every 2 seconds or so, another step would disappear. So whenever he put a box down, you'd lose even more of them. And then eventually I fell into the lava and died, and we respawned. I went, well, that's not right. And I ran up to the top, and he started arranging his boxes again based on what I'd said earlier. I was like, no, stop, because the patterns have changed. Like, every time you die, they're different. So it's not the same. Whilst the puzzle is the same every playthrough, the actual answers are different because the hieroglyphs or whatever they might be that were on the cube were different. And eventually John hit upon, I won't spoil the puzzle, but he solved it and worked out what it was he had to do at his end and got it right. And then the lances disappeared and I was able to scurry up a bit more of the spiral staircase and then the same thing again. And so then I had to describe what was there. But this time it was a lot harder because the symbols were all very similar and there was a certain... I say as well, spoiling things. The angle of certain symbols was important. It wasn't enough to say there is a triangle. It was a triangle facing downwards towards a square with an eye in it, or whatever it might be. Yeah. So it got a lot harder, and so we died a few more times, and then eventually we solved it and got to the top. and then once I got to the top, there was just a button for me to pull, and that opened his door, and then he was able to go into the next bit. So that's basically how it works, is you just have, you know, maybe either a puzzle in one room and the solution in the other, and you have to communicate in order to solve it. Or more often than not, there are actually two puzzles. So you each had a puzzle and you had the clues to the other person's puzzle to solve. So it required a lot of communication, not dissimilar to keep talking and nobody explodes, because obviously you've got no visual at all. You can't see what they see.
That's just a great analogy.
Yeah, you just have... But it's slightly worse than that, because you don't have the actual answer. You have a clue.
Yeah.
It's kind of like one of you's doing a crossword and the other one has the cryptic crossword clue. and they have to explain it. So you have to say, I'm looking at two down. And they have to.
But even worse, I guess, it's like having a pile of crossword clues and the other guy doesn't actually know you're doing a crossword.
Yeah.
So first you have to figure out, oh, it's a crossword. And then you have to figure out the clues.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of... I mean, not all of them were timed. There was only, I think, one or two that had the timing, which then caused problems because obviously you have to rush. Most of them weren't that way. It was just trial and error. Some of them, I guess, were a bit bullshitty because you could have just cycled through a load of them. Like there was one with almost like a Wheel of Fortune style, like a several wheels that had symbols on, and just to get the right three symbols now... you're the maths guy, so eight combinations by eight, I guess. So 64 combinations? Is that right? 61?
Trying to remember which puzzle you're talking about. I don't remember it.
So. The very first one, there was like a wheel with eight symbols on, and you had to tell me what the symbols were.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah. But I mean, eight by eight by eight, so you're talking a lot.
Oh, yeah. 64 times eight, I suppose.
Like 500 or something. So, yeah, it would have taken...
You could brute force it.
Yeah, yeah, I remember in Resident Evil 3 or 2 or one of those games, there was a clock puzzle where you're supposed to solve it, and I think there's three numbers that go from, you know, 0 to 9 or whatever, and my friend was like, what's the code? And I'm like, don't know, just going to work through them all. And like 7 or 8 minutes later, I'd done it, you know, because it was in one of those, it's like, this is probably quicker than finding out the actual puzzle.
So, I've also done that with a suitcase when I forgot what the code was and it was just a 3-digit one. It's just like, well, it's going to be between 0 and 999. So off we go.
I'll tell you what I haven't done it with. That was my original one password, but master password, which when I tried it out for a bit, I was like, oh, and then I got bored and then came back 3 months later and I could never get those fucking passwords out. Now I use it regularly, so it's fine. I have
not
a very
a
good memory.
You want to forget? I mean, we're going off on a tangent here, but I remember when I set up my master password, I literally touch typed it 100 times to sort of get the mental note into my head as to what the password was, and now I've got it down. But anyway, I digress. So that is We Were Here Too in a nutshell. It's, you know, a kind of keep talking, nobody explodes puzzle solving thing.
Yeah,
which is pretty awesome. So let's just move straight into our discussion points. We'll go with likes first. What did you like about the game, John?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just kick off and say the game's developed with the Unreal Engine, I guess Unreal Engine 4, and it definitely looks like it. I'm assuming the team behind this were a pretty small team, given the scope of the game and the fact it's quite a cheap game at £7, but it definitely looks top-notch, and it didn't have to. You know, this easily could have been a much more simple looking game, like Human Fall Flat, you know, which is a fairly sort of blocky colour game. It could easily have been that level of graphics, but they've obviously gone the extra mile, as it were, to make this look really pretty. And it's nice, you know. It's always nice when your immediate sort of interaction with the game is, ooh, that's kind of pretty. And it gets you immersed in the castle feeling really well. You know, it feels like you're in this castle environment, which was very much appreciated. So,
yeah, I'd agree with that. It did look good. When we started off, I thought, oh, going to see these assets reused over and over and over again. And to a degree, I guess some of the walls and paneling and stuff was, but it's in a castle, it's fair enough. But there was actually a huge diversity in stuff. Later on, there was like a really good stained glass puzzle, which had really good artwork on it, that was all subtly different, so you had to carefully describe, which leads me to my favourite thing about this game, which is the hilarious interactions you get depending on the person you're playing it with. So I believe one of your examples of a stained glass window was he looks a bit like Jamie Lannister, but slightly more obnoxious. I was like, yep, got him.
Yep. And you're like, yeah, I know who that is.
And describing hieroglyphics, we had such wonderful lines as a top-down turtle with legs sticking out of it. And my personal favourite, a tulip with cat ears.
Yep. Both of which, as soon as you mention that, I can picture exactly what that means. Perfect. Yep.
So, I mean, even when we were playing it, it instantly took me back to Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes, which we did in a previous episode a long time ago. It's probably like episode 6, 7, something like that, maybe. I don't know. A long time ago. Go and check that out if you've not listened to that episode. It's very similar, where you had to describe very abstract shapes as best you could and quickly and concisely. which is exactly what this was like. But the other thing it reminded me of a lot of was the Portal 2 co-op multiplayer. Because in that you had the two little robots and you had to solve things in separate rooms, sometimes without seeing what the other person could see. And you had a lot of that sort of like communication type stuff, which definitely helped. I mean, it's probably worth pointing out, in this game you actually have a walkie-talkie and you hold down, I think it's the right mouse button to activate it so you can talk. We didn't actually use it for reasons we'll come to later. So we just had a Skype chat running the whole time where we were constantly talking back and forth. But if you're playing it properly, you actually have to hold down a button to talk into the walkie-talkie. And I guess you can only talk one at a time because it'd be like a proper walkie-talkie. So that might slow things down even more. But we just did it through Skype and it was fine.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're friends, it wasn't, didn't seem like it was necessary to get the in-game chat working. So,
no. So that's actually all of the likes we have, which isn't to the detriment of the game. It's just that there isn't really that much else to say that we liked about it. I mean, it does this thing and it does it well, and that's fine. Yeah. Now, we do have a few dislikes, minor though they may be. So, John, I'll let you kick off with these.
Yeah, sure. So, I think, and this is only, you say, a very minor dislike, but it could have done with a bit more of a warm-up, I think. A little bit of an introduction as to what you're supposed to do and what's going on. Maybe a couple more really simple puzzles just to get the idea home. You know, just one or two. I mean, it throws you in, not at the deep end, because it's not like a time puzzle to start with, but it was a little bit abrupt. You're just like, huh, okay, castle, cool. There's stuff around. And then... what are we supposed to do again? So just somewhat sort of introduction might have been nice. But
I wonder if they could do that with like a little single player bit just to show you the type of things you're going to have to do. Because obviously that would be annoying in a multiplayer setting if you've got another person you're matched up to. But like a little tutorial thing would be nice. I also wonder if we probably should have played the first game first. For some reason, I thought that the original game was a single-player game and this was like the sequel that was co-op, but I'm completely wrong and it's exactly the same thing. Exactly the same, even in the same setting. So, yeah, I'm not sure about that. Maybe that would have been the perfect warm-up. Who can say? But, okay. So, my first dislike is that when I was on their website for the developers, who are called Mayhem Games, they've only done these two games, We Were Here and We Were Here Too, which I should point out is two as in T-O-O, as in as well, not two as in sequel, although it is as well, so a bit of confusion. But on their website, they've got this really cool in-depth story behind the whole thing, a backstory about King Bartholomew of Amber Adelaide, and there's a warden who's symbolised by a bear who has locked up your friends and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, this is a really cool story. Shame none of it was in the fucking game. I missed all of that if it was there. Literally, you've got two guys walking through the Arctic, and then they get to a castle and they go, ooh, let's go in there. And then there's two doors, and rather than going through them together separately, they go, you go in that one, I'll go in this one. And then from then on, they're separated. So, a bit weird. I mean, it's not a game that requires a story, realistically.
No.
Yeah. It could have been explained better, because they've obviously thought about it in a great deal of depth, and the story sounds good, so it's a shame it's not embellished better.
There are one or two bits where I was reading a book, and it did just seem to have peripheral information in. You know, obviously it ended up probably being one page of story stuff that I remember finding anyway. Maybe there is more. But I guess there's also a bit of a problem there, because if you were to litter the rooms with books with full of lore, you would assume they're solutions to the puzzle.
And I did think that the first time I found a book that had like a poem in it. I guess like just the intro could have done with a subtitle to explain what was going on. Like, I'm not asking for like, you know, Oblivion style tomes of stories littered around the place. Just a little bit of, if there is a story and you're trying to tell it, then tell it. If it's just rooms of puzzles, that's fine. I mean, Portal is the obvious example of a franchise which managed to make you go from room to room doing pointless puzzles, but actually spin a narrative around it. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying it's easy to mimic that, but it felt like there could have been more attempt there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'll move on to my next dislike, and that was just, again, it's a minor one, but a few of the interactions were a little bit janky. So, yes, it's built with Unreal, and it looks really smooth and nice, and the movement's nice, but sometimes you go to interact with something, and I'm specifically thinking about the puzzle you described earlier, where I had these cubes in my hand, and you can sort of inspect them in certain ways, and that was just all a bit, I'm trying to pick one up and have a look at it, and it's moving in random directions when I move the mouse around. I mean, not random, that's a disservice, but you know, I just want to look at this bit on the cube, and I can't get it in my face because my hand's not moving how I want it to. It's like, this is timed, Jesus. And it's I'm fighting the controls, not the puzzle.
So
there were a couple of bits like that, not too many. It didn't ruin the game for me or anything, but it was if they were asking for advice on what to improve for another one, maybe look at a few of those interactions and see how you can make them a little bit smoother. Mm. Just having a button I can push on the keyboard to turn the cube 90 degrees, for instance. That would have been nice.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So my final dislike is not really aimed at the developers or the game itself. First of all, there's like this weird little black ghost thing that would hide in each level, and when you looked at it, it would disappear, and you'd just hear this laughter. And every time I saw it, shit me right up. Genuinely shit me right up. If that wasn't there, I would have had a better time. Shit me up. And the other negative point I have to this game is that John left me to die. So I am still bitter about that. Because I'm still in the castle.
You served your purpose in helping the Lord to escape. That's all that matters. You should be grateful for the opportunity.
Oh dear, dear, dear. Right, okay, moving on to comments.
Yes, so I'll kick this off with they weren't strong enough to be dislikes, but we did have a few technical issues when we started playing the game. So I was really concerned about 5 minutes in when we were using Skype and the game disconnected and kicked us out to the menu and we had to restart. Fortunately, it only happened once, so you know, could have been a genuine little networking error or issue which was out of the developer's control, but it did shit me up. So I was like, maybe it's detecting that we're not using the in-game chat, and then I incessantly pushed the right mouse button for the next half an hour, but then we stopped and forgot about it and it seemed fine. So that's just a one-off. We couldn't get the in-game voice chat working. Now I know that we're a bit of a special case because I've got God knows how many microphones plugged in here because of all the podcasting and streaming we do. So my hunch was telling me it was picking up the wrong one, and that one was muted. But obviously I wanted to use the one in front of me. And the game doesn't really give you any options. So I just assumed that it was using whatever the Steam options were because it's a Steam game. So, but even then when I changed it in Steam to switch the mic to the one that was in front of me, it didn't work. Now
it did though when we played it again.
Yeah,
and you'd restarted your computer.
Precisely.
So yeah. I don't know if it is just it picked up the default from the point that the game loaded, but even that didn't. Because I'm sure we restarted a few times the game to do it. I don't remember.
Yeah, so it was, I mean that was a bit fiddly, but I suspect if you're in the normal case of just having a single mic plugged into your computer, it will just work.
Yeah,
and if you use the Steam Game Chat, I think it was the same system, so I imagine it would work too. And then we also failed to be able to just invite the other to a game using the Steam overlay. Like the option was there, but you didn't get the invite, I think. Or you clicked on the...
Yeah.
You got the invite in Steam, but when you tried to join, it didn't do anything. But it didn't really matter because we just set up a private game with a password and shared it over chat. So
yeah.
None of them breaking issues, but I think it was just worth mentioning.
Yeah, it's just the kind of teething issues you expect with a game of this sort of size, I guess.
Yeah,
nothing out of the ordinary, but a little frustrating. The only comment I had is that the first game, which I didn't know at the point that we played this, because as I said, I thought that it was a single-player game and this was the multiplayer sequel. It turns out that We Were Here is actually completely free on Steam. They bill it as the pilot episode of a series that they're developing, of which We Were Here 2 is the first paid installment. But the cool thing is it has optional VR support, which this one, the paid one, doesn't. So... not quite sure. And the stories between the two are actually linked, because I think in the first one there's like four explorers and they get separated from the other two. And so the first one is the story of those two, and then the one that we just played is the story of the other two. Apparently it's quite short, around 1 to 2 hours. But if you listened to this and thought to yourself, well, this sounds interesting, I'd like to give that a try, that's probably the one to download and try, because it's free and you can see if it's the kind of thing you'll enjoy and then upgrade to the better one. I can't say with any certainty what the differences are or how good the puzzles are or the graphics or anything like that, but my feeling is it's just a small demo basically of what this one's all about, just like a pilot episode to get it off the ground. So interesting way of doing it, but the VR thing is particularly interesting. Might be worth trying actually.
Yeah that could be really interesting, because then we could both be in VR, so that we should put that on the list
and I'll be the lord.
Oh, okay. I'll let you do it for the short experience. That's fine. Because I know what happens in the real ending. Another comment was more just how we played, but we did end up using...
poorly.
I ended up using... I think we probably did it in roughly an average time, like 2 to 2.5 hours. We didn't spend too long on any single puzzle. But I did find just having a pen and paper was kind of handy at my side for a couple of the puzzles when you're describing things. I'm not sure if that's really how it's intended to be played, but you know.
Which is actually incredibly similar to how we played Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes.
Yes.
Because I would just spout off everything at you and you'd make a note of it in your own shorthand that you understood. So you have to keep asking me to repeat it back to you. Because I remember telling you a load of stuff once and you were like, yep, got it. And I was like, Jesus Christ, he's got the memory of an elephant here. It's crazy. And you're like, no, I got pen and paper. I was like, oh. Cheeky bastard.
Cheating. But and there was one puzzle where we just cheated because we're friends in real life, right? So I was like, I can't really describe this. I'm failing miserably. Here's a picture on my phone. And it helped.
Yeah. That definitely made it easier.
Yes. I guess now we've played it, if we went back and did it again, we'd know the structure of all the puzzles, so we could just run through it. But
Which brings us nicely, and that was a beautiful segue into our conclusion of would we play it again and would we recommend it?
That is a really good question. I not sure if I would play it again, because we've done it and we know the puzzles. So there is potential, I would say, for one more playthrough where we switch roles, but I still think there wouldn't really be many surprises because you know what the other person did. So while the puzzle components would change, like you said, the actual mechanics wouldn't. So we have essentially solved all the puzzles. And then when you come to say, would you recommend it? I think It's pretty close, but I think I would, as long as you know who you're playing with. I would not have enjoyed that, just going online and playing it with a random, unless I ended up really luckily with the right random, because they've probably, for some weird reason, I bet a lot of people on there have already completed it 10 times. And when you start playing it, you're like, oh, push the button, you idiot. Push the button, you idiot. It's this one. They're going to spoil it for you, you know? Like, the fun is to work it all out. And if they've played it through three times before and they just want you to run through it again to get their last achievement or whatever, that's not really going to be fun. And you could get lucky. I mean, if you know someone online on the forum or on Twitter who you've been, you know, chatting with and you have a little bit of trust to enjoy a game together, maybe it's worth it. But I wouldn't buy it just on a whim if I didn't have someone to play it with. But I'm glad that we bought it, and I would recommend someone in our situation to buy it, because it's only £7, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's worth it for 2 or 3 hours. I mean, that's the same. It's a lot cheaper than the movie, right? So.
Yeah, that's true. I think I'm in a similar boat in that I wouldn't play it again because I would know the puzzles. It's not like Keep Talking Nobody Explodes, where there is a genuine difference in each one because it's random. And while they do try to make it more replayable by having a randomness to what hieroglyphics are on, so you can't just say the same thing, they're still going to be from a fixed list. Like, it would almost be better if there were 15 puzzle rooms and you get 8 of them per run or something like that. So it is slightly different. Maybe it is. I don't think it is, though. So I agree on that point that I probably myself wouldn't play it again now that we finished it. But would I recommend it? I would, because I think it is enjoyable, but exactly the same proviso you put on, play it with someone that you know. I think it would be nice if that they'd done some kind of like bundle, like a lot of games do, whereby, it's £8 for one copy, but get 2 copies for £11 or something like that, just so it's a bit easier to buy it. Because then it's the sort of thing that I might have bought and gone, here's your copy for free, we'll play it.
Yeah.
Whereas we both had to go and buy it, and we just waited till it was on sale and bought it. And as you said, it's not a huge amount of money, but it would just sweeten the deal a bit more if there was. Or even if they just said, you know what, to hell with it, the game costs £12 and you get a free copy with it.
Yeah.
Which is what a lot of games of this vein do. I think that's all I can say about it. I mean, I've mentioned repeatedly, I think in every sentence I've said, Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes. That is a very good game to dip your feet into this kind of puzzle solving, because you only need one person to buy the game.
And one last thing, I mean, we've been owing and owing over whether you should buy it, and I think it's a thumbs up in a certain scenario, but definitely go and get the first one, which is free.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, if you're like, this sounds intriguing, but I'm not sure if I'll like it, then that's an obvious case. Go and get We Were Here. Download it and just give that a run through. And if you do,
that is a no-brainer for free. Yeah. Absolutely. Crazy. Crazy town. Great. Okay. Well, thank you very much for listening. You can find out more episodes at connectingtohost.co.uk, or perhaps you'd like to avail yourself of our shiny new website at shyguys.io, where you can see YouTube videos, reviews, our Shy Guys weekly roundup of video gaming news, and all of the previous episodes of Connecting to Host. There's lots of good content there, so check that out. Previous shows we've done recently, we've done Moon Hunters, Human Fall Flat, PUBG, Invisigun Heroes, Cuphead, Mario & Rabbids Kingdom Battle, lots of varied games, co-op, multiplayer, you name it, we've probably played it. But just in case we haven't, you can suggest some games to us on Twitter at CTHcast. Let us know what you'd like us to play and review, or what your favourite co-op multiplayer games are, and we'll certainly check them out and do them in a future episode. And if you've enjoyed the episode, please do leave us a review on iTunes. It helps us a lot. And if you didn't like the episode, then maybe, you know, just keep that to yourself. Or just say to a friend, I didn't like it, but maybe you should try and see if you like it, because they really might. But until next time, have a great... I don't know what I'm going to say. Have a great week.